Were there any memories from the period of training with Ajahn Chah that really stand out in your mind? In what ways did you find it difficult? Well, in many ways I found it difficult. I mean, that was, you know, even if I was inspired, it was still difficult. There were, I mean, certainly just keeping the routine was really important to Ajahn Chah. I was fairly new at Wat Pa Pong. This is after not my first visit when I first met him, but when I came back to really train with Ajahn Chah. And I had been at a meditation center where I was doing a lot of meditation. I was enjoying the meditation. And then going to Wat Pa Pong, there was the meditation. There's always monks sort of coming in at various intervals to come into the morning meditation at 3, and then at 4 you do the chanting. And then, of course, the chanting I didn't understand, and I didn't see the value in it at that point. And so then I said, well, I'm getting up at 3 and meditating at my kuti till dawn, and so I'm doing the practice, so I just won't bother with that. So then I was practicing at my kuti, quite enjoying it. And in those days, Ajahn Chah wasn't going to the pujas. He had a pretty full schedule with visitors and receiving monastics and lay people. So he wasn't going. So then, but then one day he did show up at morning puja. And I heard about it at Pindavat, and he said, "Where's that new monk, Pasano?" And the monk said, "Oh, he hasn't been coming. He's lazy." So that got back to me that I was a lazy monk, and he's I didn't want to be labeled a lazy monk, so okay, I gotta go to pujas. various things sort of stand out. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of things, but one of the things that stand out was there was a cremation at at Wat Pa Pong, and that was my first time I'd seen one of the only times in my life I'd seen a cremation, and then the body had been wrapped in cloth, and then just before the cremation itself, they unwrapped the cloth. It was just like village cloth, and then sitting through the night during this cremation. Just seeing the whole process of something that was a human body turning into ash, and then the cloth that was wrapping a corpse was in many of us were able to get enough to make it. Like I made a bathing cloth out of it, and boy, I had to wash it and boil it and wash it and boil it about 6 or 8, 10 times to get the smell out. But so it was very meaningful. But that period of training with Ajahn Chah and that contemplation of death, contemplation, it was just very natural, and being with open fire cremation out at the front of the monastery. And then also just I remember that, well, one of the things that really sticks in my mind is the I went there coming from a different monastery, so that I had not been keeping Vinaya as well as I hadn't received any training as the standard at Wapapong. So it was very ordinary at Ajahn Chah's monastery, that if you come from a different monastery and you haven't had the training from the Ajahn Chah teachers, and that you would stay as a visiting monk, and then see if you wanted to train at Wapapong, take on that standard of training, and if Wapapong Ajahn Chah wanted to actually accept you as a kind of full member of the community. So after living at Wapapong as a visiting monk, Akanduka monk for I don't know, several months, then Ajahn Chah said, you're ready to commit to this training? And of course I said yes, of course. And then I was able to get new robes and a new bowl and just requisites that were definitely not bought by money, not used, looked after by money that a monk had used. So then, and it was just before the Patimokkha day, so I was really excited because as a visiting monk, you don't join the Patimokkha. You're outside, and you come in after and declare your purity. So I was really excited because I was going to be able to join the Patimokkha like the big guys. And it's like the grown-up sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, finally. And so the bell goes for maybe 6:30 or something, the bell goes for 6 or 6:30. And I got there, so I'm really keen, hear the bell, I'm going to get there, do my confession of my offenses, go in, sit in the, it's in the old sala, which they used as the Patimokkha hall at that time. And so sit and wait for the Patimokkha to start. Usually I think it would start at, if the bell went at 6, it would probably start at 7. Anyway, sitting. And Ajahn Chah didn't show up. Then we heard about 8 o'clock that he was over in the nun section giving instruction to the Mechis and would be over shortly. So he made it. He came about 8:30 and been sitting all that time. So then, okay, we're going to do the Patimokkha. So then Patimokkha starts and it gets, probably wraps up about 9:30 or so, the chanting of the Patimokkha, and so I've been sitting for a long, for by my standards, especially in those days, to sit more than a half an hour on the floor was a big deal. And an hour or so, 2 hours. 2 hours was definitely my limit. So it had already been over 2 hours. And then Ajahn Chah starts talking. And it was probably, he started talking, and it was talking and talking and giving instruction and talking. And it was midnight, and he was still talking, and it was after three, and he innocently looks over at the you know, everybody's been looking at this clock on the wall for all night, and he innocently looks over, oh, it's after three. Somebody ring the bell for morning puja. So that was my introduction to Patimokkha at Wat-Mapong. It was torturous. So that's a memory that definitely sticks in the mind. But he could do that sometimes. He just I think that was one of the things that he was, you know, it was in an act of incredible kindness and compassion to be able to thwart your desires and your preferences, and be willing to do that, and do it in a way that was, you know, quite skillful. So sometimes you just see him, because you had to wait for the bell to ring before you would, say, start the meal. And, you know, sometimes he'd be fussing away at the top of the line there, or start talking to somebody, and everybody's waiting for that bell to go. And it's not happening. Are you watching your mind? I mean, he's not saying that, but that's the, and to have that gift of saying, if I just let go, I'm not going to suffer. Can happen, you know, the meal can happen whenever, the meeting can finish whenever. If I just let go, I don't have any suffering. But as long as I keep resenting or speculating or proliferating, I'm going to keep suffering. So it became so clear, just so in your face. So that was just, yeah, an incredible, incredible gift. So those are a variety of memories of Ajahn Chah. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.